Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Start your engines. This is the Chasing Checkers Podcast with Chase McCain on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
That is right. It is Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, and yes, I am Chase McCabe. Hope you're having a great weekend. Talladega coming up this weekend. We have a loaded show today. Very excited about this one. Not only will I be breaking down all of the mayhem that was at Dover and setting up Talladega, but I'll get some help. Ryan Blaney, driver of the number 12, Penske Racing Ford, that joined. He's joined us before, but he won. That's what I'm trying to say. He won a few weeks ago at the Roval at Charlotte. He's going to join the show. And then Darrell Waltrip from Fox NASCAR is going to join as well. So a lot to dive into this week from NASCAR and everything that happened at Dover. Very exciting race. And, you know, sometimes the best car doesn't always win. How many times have we said that on this show? Kevin Harvick pretty much dominated the race, got into the third stage, had an issue, and ended up having to pit, got way back in the field, a lap down, had to battle his way back. So it's Eric Almirola's time, right? Yeah, he's going to get a win. He's gonna get a win for Stuart Haas. He had the second best car. He's leading a bunch of laps. He's going to win the race. Not so much. Late caution, pit stops. He's back a couple of positions. Gets damage on the race car. Doesn't win the race. That's NASCAR. That's how it works sometimes, folks. So guess who gets the win? Chase Elliott. When's Chase Elliott going to win? When's he going to get a win? Well, he wins at Watkins Glen, and now he's got a second win, and he is the first driver to advance to the next round virtue of that win. Chase Elliott winning at Dover. Very excited about it after he took the checkers and talked with NBC.
A lot, man. We had a penalty there early, and fell behind, and luckily had a good enough car and a good strategy to get back. So, man, what a day! Just thanks to those guys, man, and that man right there in that white shirt coming over here, because he has done so much for me. And wish my mom and dad were here. But, man, it's been a hell of a day. Thank you, guys. Y'all are bad. I love it.
The man in the white shirt, of course, Rick Hendrick. How about the redemption here at Dover? Last year you thought you had this race won with a couple laps to go. A little redemption today?
Definitely makes it sweeter, for sure. You don't appreciate it in those moments, but to come back here and have the day we had and move on to the next round. I have to worry about Talladega next week. Man, it's a hell of a day, so thank you.
Chase Elliott with Marty Snyder of NBC after winning the race at Dover, and you heard him right there, a little redemption after last year. How many times did we talk about Chase Elliott finishing second or giving up a race, giving up a win? He was hard on himself, but he learned from those moments. And then, you know, there were other incidents with him that kind of helped him grow up a little bit, and now he's finishing the job. He's getting those wins, and he put himself in the right position. They had a good race car. They didn't necessarily have the best race car, but he put himself in a position to get the win, and now he's moving on. He doesn't have to worry about Talladega. You know what he can do at Talladega this weekend? He can go for the win. He can go checkers or wreckers. He can go for more bonus points, stage wins, things like that. He doesn't have to worry about being on the outside looking in. You look at Eric Almirola, who was going to be in Chase Elliott's position. He was going to advance with a win. Now he's on the outside looking in. That's where he is right now. Let's take a look at the standings, as we do every week in the playoffs. By virtue of that win, Chase Elliott, currently at the top, he advances automatically with a race win. He will be in the round of eight. Kevin Harvick is second. He's 68 points to the good. Kyle Busch, third, 63 to the good. Think those two will probably clinch a spot this weekend, barring any type of mayhem, which that never happens at Talladega. Martin Truex Jr. is fourth, 36 to the good. Joey Logano, fifth, 31 to the good. Kurt Busch in sixth, 21 to the good. Brad Keselowski in seventh, also 21 to the good. And Ryan Blaney, who you'll hear from here in just a little bit, 10 to the good in eighth. The guys that need work. You have Eric Almirola and Clint Bowyer, both 10 points out. Kyle Larson, 12 points out. Alex Bowman, 34 out. He needs a win. So that's where we are on the standings as they go to Talladega. And look, remember, this used to be a cutoff race. This used to basically be this wild card where you hope you survive and can advance. And now it's in the middle of the round as opposed to the end of a round. So I think that that's good for some drivers. You have some guys like Alex Bowman, like Clint Bowyer, that have shown that they have some plate racing capabilities. Kyle Larson's one of those. Eric Almirola, his only win is at Daytona. So those guys going to Talladega could put themselves in a very good position to get a win. And, you know, I'm curious to see how Eric Almirola will respond after how things went with the race. He actually caught up with NBC on those closing laps after the race and a very dejected Eric Almirola.
The closing laps, were you thinking this is finally over and we can finally get to victory lane?
I thought so. I know better to not get too far ahead of myself and to just race the race and take it as it comes. And you know, we were obviously in really good position there to win the race. I was really taking it easy. I know Kurt started making a little ground there, and I was just really taking it easy on my tires and making sure that I had something to race with if he got any closer. But I felt really good about the position we were in, coming to, you know, 10 to go, leading, and with about a half a straightaway lead to Kurt. And, you know, just circumstances didn't go our way, and, you know, just frustrated. I wanted to go to victory lane, man. I thought for sure we were going to go to victory lane here. This is a really great track for me, and obviously all of our Stewart Haas racing cars were really fast, so everybody back at the shop's doing a great job giving us fast race cars to show up to the track. And when Kevin had his misfortune, I thought that kind of put it in our lap to be the car to beat, and just didn't work out. So just frustrated. Wanted to put our Smithfield Ford Fusion in victory lane, and unfortunately that didn't work out.
Eric Almirola after the race with Dave Burns from NBC, and you can hear it in his voice. And look, this is a guy that he's run well. He obviously has raced well enough this year to qualify for the playoffs without a win. This move to Stewart Haas has been huge for him, and they've been competitive. He probably should have won the race this weekend. I mean, Kevin Harvick can say that too, but he had a good enough car. Just circumstances took him out of it. So I am curious of what his demeanor is going to be like after losing a big race like that going into Talladega this weekend. He's either going to be determined or he's going to have a hangover from, you know, thinking about everything and how the race ended at Dover. I think that that's something to pay attention to. And, you know, the thing that stunk about it all was Clint Bowyer had issues, and that's what bunched the field up and put Eric Almirola in the position that he was in. Clint Bowyer commented on the incident with NBC.
Well, I guess we had another loose wheel. I mean, this sucks. I'm so sick for Eric. It was his race to win. Kelly had one in New Hampshire, and we had trouble, broke something, and go back out there. I don't know. We were something in the rear end. The left rear, right rear was loose. I thought it was a track bar. It was so bad. Go back out there, and it's fine. So I take back off, and then something in the front breaks. So I don't know. It was two different instances, whatever we were having trouble with. Newman, he was still pissed from last week, I guess, and had to be Newman. And tore my right side up. I don't know if it was damaged from that or not. From then on, it wasn't very good. But it's a shame.
Clint Bowyer after the race and feeling bad for his teammate Eric Almirola. And just incidents, you know. And that's kind of where we were to come down to the finish between Chase Elliott and Denny Hamlin. And we know what happened. We know that Chase Elliott got the win, but you do feel for a guy like Eric Almirola that has run so well this year and hasn't been able to put the car in victory lane. Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Online at thegamenashville.com. I'm Chase McCabe. Darrell Waltrip coming up a little later in the show, but coming up next, we'll talk to Ryan Blaney. But as we put a bow on Dover, I mentioned Denny Hamlin. He finished second. He has had his battles with Chase Elliott in the past, and he commented on that after the race.
Did you think when the 9 chose the outside on that restart, you were going to have his number?
I didn't think so. I mean, the outside line was the preferred group for the restart guys all day, but I mean, we ran a 23.70 on that last lap. He is 23.60 on that old of tires. That's amazing. You know, I ran as hard as I could through 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. Just couldn't get beside him there. But proud of the whole FedEx team. Definitely, you know, step in the right direction. We chipped away at it all day long, kept moving up through the field. And, you know, got here. You know, this is kind of where we deserved. So proud of this finish. And, you know, we'll move on to the next race.
Your crew chief, Mike Wheeler, told me today that he thinks you probably hate this track coming and racing here. How do you feel about it after a finish like that?
I don't hate the racetrack. I think the venue is awesome. It's a great place to watch the race. I just have not had very good success here, but glad to see me and Chase can finish 1-2 here in a playoff race and not have any controversy, so happy for those guys.
Great job.
Denny Hamlin with Kelly Stavis from NBC after the race, and you heard it there. Just very happy they didn't wreck each other, and maybe they have moved on from past incidents. Now they got to go to Martinsville here in a few weeks, so we'll see if it comes down to those two again. But just a great finish, and it all circles back to Chase Elliott getting the win. And one guy that was there and was in victory lane that obviously has a lot to do with Chase Elliott in his career is the man, Mr. H, car owner Rick Hendrick.
Oh, yeah, man. You know, he's been so close here and moving on in the round. I hate it for Alex. Jimmy had that problem. But, man, he's been so close. It's really good to see him get this win and move on. So it's exciting.
Going to Talladega without having to worry about it. You know the benefits of that.
I have taken 4 cars to Talladega and cut them up to get them in a trailer, all of them. So, yeah, this will be one we can kind of take a little bit of a break and hope Alex can get a win down there. But, man, what a great day for Chase. So proud of him. Love the way the fans react to him.
Yeah.
Thanks, Napa, and all the guys that have supported us from way back when the kid was 14 years old. So it's pretty cool.
How about the maturation process of that young man and how he's matured as a race car driver this year, Rick?
You know, he's smart. He's like his dad. He's really smart. He knows when to race, and he's got unbelievable car control. And, you know, I'm just very fortunate to have him in our camp.
Rick Hendrick with Marty Snyder from NBC after the race. You heard the praise there. The comparison to Bill Elliott's pretty interesting because I've heard that, you know, their demeanor is very similar. I think, you know, Chase doesn't have that accent like Bill does, but, you know, they drive a race car in a similar way. I think Chase is starting to come into his own. And, you know, I said this when he won at Watkins Glen. I thought after he got the proverbial monkey off his back, more and more of those wins were going to come. He's already won another one. I wouldn't be surprised if he wins another race in these playoffs. You know, he's in position right now to go to Homestead. I still think one of the big three walks away with the title. But Chase Elliott has put himself in a great position with this win and has come such a long way in a short amount of time. When we come back, speaking of another guy that has come a long way in a short amount of time, Ryan Blaney. And we always hear Ryan Blaney and Chase Elliott kind of compared to one another. Ryan Blaney's going to join the show, and then Darrell Waltrip coming up a little later on. It's Chasing Checkers, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Chasing Checkers, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe here with you, as always, and as promised, we're talking to a guy that just won a couple weeks ago at the Roval at Charlotte. Ryan Blaney is on the line with us. Ryan, how are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on.
Let's before we get into Talladega, because I know that you got that this weekend, and that is a circus in itself, but the Roval at Charlotte, so many unknowns going into that race, and you were the guy that came out on top, a little melee at the end, but what was your overall impression of the weekend?
Yeah, I thought, you know, the Roval, obviously something new and something different NASCAR tried, and you know, making a combination of a road course and the mile-and-a-half track, and you know, a lot of people were skeptical going into it because, you know, it was hard enough just to make laps by yourself. And we're like, well, how are we going to get 40 of us on the track and be able to run? And it was a lot better than I expected, to be honest with you. And I would have said that, you know, even if we didn't win the race. You know, I thought it was a unique place. All the fans seemed to really enjoy it. So I think, you know, nothing's going to be perfect the first time you do it. And I think we'll make some tweaks and changes to it and be able to go back there next year and try to put on an even better show. But I thought it was pretty fun. Definitely a neat racetrack.
Well, it was fun from afar watching on television. And you know, I kind of looked at it as they tried something different, which is something we've seen a little bit more of from NASCAR recently. And you drivers seem to like it. And I think it's a good thing to go back there here for the next few years and tweak it and see what happens.
Yeah. I'm sure they're going to do it. And that's always nice. You know, when the fans like something new, that's always kind of a relief. You never know how kind of people are going to take it. And so that was cool to see the reaction from everybody.
Ryan Blaney on the line with us. Now, you kind of take wins any way you can get them. There was a big wreck at the end. You were in a perfect position. You ended up getting the win. But you were very humble in victory lane in your post-race about, you know, just you'd love to dominate and win it that way. But I thought that was really cool of you to kind of be humble in that moment.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, I've never won a race like that before. So that was kind of a new experience for me. So it's kind of a weird feeling when you do that. But, you know, if you go back, we look at it, you know, we put ourselves in a spot to capitalize on something just in case something like that happened. And it did. And we were able to be fortunate to get by it. But I think we've lost a few races this year we should have won. So maybe that was kind of we got one back. But yeah, that was just strange and just kind of surprising. You know, you don't really know how to react. But that one worked out for us for sure.
Well, and we've seen Ryan, you know, Chase won his second race last week. You won your second race a few weeks ago, and we're seeing other drivers start to get in there, whereas we've talked about a big three, it seems like, all season long. Now that the playoffs are going, is that just kind of how the luck turns sometimes, or is that kind of a virtue of the playoffs in this format?
I think it's a bit of everything. I think it's, you know, the playoffs definitely, you know, people start getting really aggressive and going after it, and I think it's cool. It's really nice. You know, different people are winning. That's healthy for the sport. You know, personally, I like to be winning every one of them, as every other driver would say. But, it's cool to, I think Big Three is, like they said, it's still there. Those guys are still really fast week in, week out. But, it's nice to, start to creep into the picture. And that's just the product of the playoffs, of the teams finding things last minute, working really hard, drivers going for broke. So that's a huge testament to how intense the playoffs are.
You raced, of course, with the Wood Brothers the last couple of years and then moved to Penske full-time this year, bringing back the 12 car. What's that transition been like for you of joining Roger's team full-time, even though I know you were a driver with him in the Xfinity Series, but being able to do it on the Cup side?
Yeah, it's really been what I've wanted to do, you know, and been really lucky to go drive for the Wood Brothers for a little bit. They were great to me. Can't thank them enough. And I still see those guys a lot every single weekend. And now to drive the 12 car, to bring it back, you know, it's been out of commission for a little while. And since Ryan Newman drove it, it's really cool to bring that car back to race in the Cup Series for RP. That's really, really awesome. And he was there in Charlotte, which was really cool to be there. And definitely I couldn't think of a better place to be at. So cool to be in this spot, you know, with great, great team, great group of people working on it. And hopefully we can just keep going.
Coming from a family of racers, your dad, Dave, obviously raced for a long time in the Cup Series. What kind of advice have you been able to get from him over the last few years as you start to develop in your Cup career?
You know, it's so much. It's hard to pick one out. He's been, you know, obviously the reason I'm big reason why I'm doing it. I grew up watching him race. It's just been a part of our family for generations, and I was lucky to, you know, go to the tracks with him when I was young, and kind of be a part of it ever since I was born and can remember. And you know, he's still as involved as day one, you know, today, and that's really cool that he's still a part of it. He races full time now, even races sprint cars full time. He'll race more than I do this year, and but he still tries to come out. He was at Charlotte, which was pretty cool. He was. You know, the road course stuff, he'll go walk around really any place. So we'll talk before practice or something. He'll go walk around and watch me, watch other cars, and we can, you know, talk about it after practice or something of, you know, where we think we can be better at. So that's just really cool to have someone like that who can give you that information. You can talk to really easy, and you know, I trust him 100%. You know, he's been through it all. He's been racing for way longer than I have, and I trust every word he says. So that's been really cool to have him still there today and still be a big part of it.
Do you like having him on the radio, or does he just get to listen?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't get on the radio. We just talk in between practice runs or something. He'll come to the car, but no, like during the race, he'll never get on the radio.
Talking with Ryan Blaney, is the driver of the number 12 Penske Racing Ford. He'll be at the Talladega Super Speedway this weekend. Now, you know, as I mentioned when we started this, that the Roval had a lot of unpredictable moments. Talladega is, that's what it's built on. You never know what's going to happen in plate racing. You have a couple of top tens there in a short career. You actually won at Daytona in one of the qualifying races. So you have a plate racing background, but what are you expecting this weekend at Talladega?
I'm not sure. You know, it's always up in the air. You just never know what can happen. There's a lot of things that can go your way, a lot of things that can go wrong for you. And it's just about, you know, trying to, one, stay out of trouble, two, try to run up front. And I think the best way to stay out of trouble is run up front. But you never know. You can be the leader and get turned and cause a big accident. So you try to make as many game plans as you can before you head into something like this. But you don't know what can happen. And mostly your game plans go away. And you know, you just try to figure out things on the fly. But that's just kind of the product of that race. And you never exactly know what can happen. But you just try to stay clean. You know, we'd love to go win the race. I mean, that's obviously the goal. But just try to stay out of trouble. Do well in stages. You know, try to run up front there to the end of the race. Just put yourself in a spot to where you have a shot at it. I think that's the best thing you could do. Just have a chance to go get this thing at the end. But it's a great. I love Talladega. The atmosphere around there is great. The fans are amazing. I look forward to seeing everybody out there. But we'll see how it goes for us. Should be wild.
Are you able to take much from, you know, Brad won the race last year, your teammate Joey won in the spring? Are you guys able to compare notes and kind of see what worked for them? I know it's so unpredictable, but are you able to kind of gather some info?
Yeah, you know, we don't change a ton on our race cars at the track, you know, for the speedway stuff. Maybe you'll trim some stuff out here and there, but, you know, you might tweak on handling a little bit, but it's not like a big, you know, practice track where, you know, you're looking for lap time and stuff. You're just, you want to get out in the draft and see how your car handles in the draft and make changes a little bit to that, how it drafts up to other cars, how it leads packs. So it's like a different mindset. But more things you look at going into the speedway stuff is just, you know, you watch previous races and you try to see, you know, characteristics or situations that happened and how people, you know, reacted to those, you know, and trying to get runs on people, try to block if you're the leader, you know, that stuff's pretty hard to do. You're looking in your mirror. If you're the leader of the pack, you're looking in your mirror probably a little bit more than you're looking at the front windshield, just to watch lines and stuff. So we talk about that a little bit. I talk to my spotter a lot, you know, leading up to this race, just because their communication is so big, coming in and, you know, throughout this race, they'll talk for, you know, sometimes two or three laps straight if we're in a big pack and just feeding us constant information. But, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that we get ready for. But I think Brad, Joey, and I have always done a pretty good job of communicating and trying to help each other out.
Ryan Blaney, driver of the number 12 Penske Racing Ford at Talladega this weekend. And as we wrap this up, your podcast, Glass Case of Emotion, I check it out all the time, man. You have way too much fun with that.
Yeah, it's been fun, man. That's been a cool thing to do. We're in our second year now, and I have a blast. We've had a lot of really great people on there, drivers, other athletes, musician, and it's been really cool just to get to know them. You know, that was the main reason behind the podcast, is just not making it feel like a work interview. You just kind of come and hang out, and we can talk about whatever you want to talk about. And that's been a lot of fun. But yeah, there's maybe we'll have too much fun with it every now and then. it is well worth it. It's a good time. It's cool to me how many fans have come up to me and say that they watch it and listen to it. And you know, that personally, that obviously makes me feel good to know that they're paying attention to it.
Well, it definitely shows personality, and I think that's important in this sport. So I appreciate you taking the time today, Ryan. Best of luck this weekend at Talladega, and maybe Penske can make it three in a row with all three cars at the Talladega Super Speedway.
I hope so. I appreciate you having me. Have a good one.
Ryan Blaney, Penske driver, the number 12 winning a few weeks ago at the Roval at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. And look, he's becoming very popular. You look at him and Chase Elliott as two of the most popular young drivers in the sport right now. And he's showing a lot of talent, both two wins in their careers now. So Ryan Blaney going to the Talladega Super Speedway. And he's one of those guys that you should probably pay attention to because he has been known to put himself in a very, very good position in these types of races. So when we come back, though, on Chasing Checkers, we go from Ryan Blaney to old DW. Darrell Waltrip from Fox NASCAR, he joins the show next. ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Chasing Checkers, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe here with you, and we're going to talk about the chase. I know they don't call it that anymore, but the playoffs with our man Darrell Waltrip, old DW from Fox Sports. DW, how are you?
Doing well, yeah, man. Yeah, you got the right name, Chase Elliott, Chase. Yeah, you know, a lot of chasing going on. You got the right name. Good name for your show.
Absolutely. Let's start there, though. Chase Elliott gets his second win of the year, and, you know, we've seen this time and time again where another driver dominates the race, and then you have a guy at the right place at the right time that has a good car, but maybe not the winning car, and Chase Elliott able to capitalize on an opportunity and get his second win of the year and advance to the next round. Just how about the job he's done this year?
Yeah, you know, Chase is he's such a young man. And I think sometimes we overlook just how young he is, particularly when he started in the Cup 3 years ago. We all expected him to win right away. I think that was maybe exceeding his overextending his expectations. He's learned. He's learned a lot. He's had a lot of second place finishes. The thing that always bothered me about Chase is he was always so hard on himself. Down and on himself when he wouldn't win a race. And he had a lot of second place finishes, so you know he had a lot of practice of that. But I got to tell you, I look back on his career over the last couple 3 years, and I believe last year when he and Denny Hamlin kind of had that run in at Martinsville, Chase leading the race, Hamlin running second, Hamlin knocks Chase out of the way. I really think that woke Chase up. I think that was what he needed. I saw that with Joey Logano. They pushed him around and run over him a lot. And then finally one day he woke up and he said, that's it. I'm not going to take it anymore. And I really think that's the way Chase has approached this year particularly. They've struggled at Hendrick Motorsports. None of those cars have been all that great all year long, although the 9 has been kind of the flagship car. So they've had the best of the Hendrick cars. But up until the last few weeks, those cars haven't been that competitive. But the last, I don't know, since maybe May, June, those cars have really come on pretty strong. And, of course, Chase gets his second win, and that was huge for that team.
Darrell, when you look at some of these young drivers, you mentioned Chase Elliott, that we all expected him to win right away. And you know, we've seen that time and time again. You mentioned Joey Logano. I mean, there's been other drivers. William Byron has a lot of hype around him. Do you think that based upon back in the 90s and then your day when you were coming up that – now with social media and there's all these videos on YouTube and ways that you can follow a young driver as they're progressing and they're being moved up a lot sooner than maybe they should be, does that just add a bunch of pressure to them to try and perform and therefore we see it not happen?
Yeah, yes and no. I always say about a rookie, what he doesn't know, he doesn't know. But I think that's part of the problem. You have to go through that learning experience. I know as when I drove, I had to beat myself. I lost some races because of not the competition, but because of something dumb that I did or a mistake that I made. And so when you're young, you have to go through that learning experience. And I think that's what some of these young drivers are doing. They're 19, 20, 21, 22 years old. They're kids. And they're out there racing with veterans like Kevin Harvick and Brad Keselowski and Martin Truex. Those guys have gone through all that trial and error thing. They've made the mistakes and they've learned how to capitalize on things like that. So I think that's what we're seeing with these young drivers. It's like going to school. You know, you start off in the grade school, you go to high school, and then you finally get to college, and then maybe you make it to the pros. But that's what you go through. You have to experience it yourself. People can tell you, don't do this, don't do that, don't make this move, don't make that move. But you got to do it and learn from that, and then I think it just makes you makes you that much better driver when you finally put it all together. Junior Johnson always told me, he said, I want a driver that's about 29 or 30 years old. And you look at the numbers of all the great drivers, and it's in that time frame from about 28, 29 to about 35, in that little window right there when you do the most, when you have the most success. And that's because you finally figured out how to put it all together. You can use your talent. You can use your team. You can use your car, use your experience, and then you're able to win a lot of races. So I just think that's what we're seeing with these young guys. They're in great cars. They're with great teams. They got great teammates, and they just have to learn the ropes. And once they kind of learn all that, then you see them win a lot.
Darrell Waltrip from Fox NASCAR here with us on Chasing Checkers, and we'll tell you more about his event he's got coming up this week, the dinner, the Waltrip Brothers Charity Dinner on October 17th and the golf tournament on the 18th. Clint Black is going to be the headliner there at the dinner. I know you and Michael and everyone involved with this have put a lot of work into it for Motor Racing Outreach.
Yeah, we do this. This will be our ninth annual event. We have it over here at the factory at Liberty Hall. On a Wednesday night, huge dinner. 500 people will show up for the dinner. Clint Black, like you said, is a headliner. The Jay Sekulow Band's going to do a little, do some numbers, some songs for us. New Song, one of my favorite Christian music groups. They're also going to perform a few songs for us. So we got a lot of music this year, a lot of entertainment. It's a fun dinner. A lot of drivers come. A lot of celebrities, Rick Henry comes, Mike Helton from NASCAR, Marcus Smith, just many, many, many of our friends that that we've made through the year, Michael and I, and they all show up, and we just have a big old time. And then on Thursday, we go out and see who can shoot the lowest score, not always maybe legally, but who's who turns in the lowest scoring scorecard.
Well, what is it you always said? It's fudging or when you're trying to do something on the race car that maybe doesn't fit in the rules. Does that apply to golf?
Well, you know, it's vague. Yeah, it's just always, you kind of you have to read between the lines. It always tells you what you can do, but it never tells you what, you know, it always tells you what you can't do. Then you have to figure out what you can do. So I always said I wasn't a rule breaker. I was a rule maker. And so we would read the rule book and we'd say, okay, here's what it says not to do, but it doesn't say you can't do this. And so we'd do it. And sometimes we get away with it, and sometimes we wouldn't, and sometimes they make a rule, and sometimes they say don't bring that back anymore. But golf's a little bit different. Golf's kind of fun. I'll tell Michael, my brother, I say, look, I shot 72 yesterday. He said, now how'd you do that? I said, I played with a bunch of guys that thought a three-footer was good, and that's why my score was the best it'd ever been.
That's the way to get it done. He's Darrell Waltrip from Fox NASCAR. So one of the big stories that came out this week, DW, is Chad Knaus and Jimmy Johnson, after so many years together, seven championships, they're going to be splitting up, both still at Hendrick Motorsports, but Chad is going to join William Byron. Their relationship over these years, and you know, I know I've heard you and Jeff Hammond talk about it. I mean, you've had different crew chiefs in your career. It's tough to be able to work together that long just because you spend so much time together, and they have said they fight like brothers. But what have they meant to the sport with this record-setting partnership that they have had as crew chief and driver?
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly a driver-crew chief combination that rivals anything we've ever seen. You know, Jimmy won five championships in a row. I don't think we'll ever see that again. He's got seven overall. He's got 83 wins. And there's always been people all through Jimmy Johnson's career, even up in last year, this past year, people would say, well, Jimmy wouldn't be near as good if he didn't have Chad. They give Chad a lot of credit for being a great statistician, a great calling a race, and doing a lot of things to the car and getting away with a lot of stuff. And a lot of people have given Chad Knaus an incredible amount of credit for the success that Jimmy Johnson's had. I think what happens, look, Jimmy hadn't won a race in over a year now. He won Dover, a little over a year ago. That's just unbelievable for someone with his kind of talent. One of the things that people overlook, and Ron Malik, who's been the car chief, on that 48 car, I think, as long as Chad has been the crew chief. So Ron has been the car chief. Car chief does all the work on the car. Crew chief oversees it. Car chief gets the job done. And Ron has a lot of knowledge. And there are a lot of people that thought he'd make a great crew chief. He's now working in the shop in Hendrick Motorsports. He didn't want to travel anymore. But I think that was part of the problem, that they lost him this year. The car they came out with, the Camaro, you always, you know, from old car to new car, you want the new car to be better. They struggled with this car. Hendrick Motorsports made some internal changes. Instead of having two shops with two cars in each one, the 48 and the 24 were in the shop, and the 5 and the 25 were in the shop, this year they put them all under one roof. And that was a big change internally. The optical scanning station that NASCAR uses this year, where they use all those cameras to scan the car, Hendrick Motorsports didn't have that piece of equipment when the season started. And it took them up until about May or June to get that in-house, get it up and running. I think we saw an improvement in their cars when they did. The Chevrolet got an upgrade in the engine back around May. I know that was a big plus. So it's taken them all year long to overcome some of the changes that were made with the car, with internal things. They got a different engine, a little better engine package. But Jimmy Johnson has struggled. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Johnson has not been the Jimmy Johnson that we would normally like see on the racetrack. And he's struggled. And when it comes to this time of year, you got to sit down with your owner and you got to say, why are we not winning? Why are we not being more successful? Has Jimmy forgotten how to drive? I don't think so. Has Chad forgotten how to crew chief? Probably not. But for some reason, you can't help each other anymore. I remember when me and Hammond, we sat down one day and we had a heart-to-heart. I said, buddy, I'm out of ideas. I'm out of things to know. I don't know what else to do. He looked at me and said, I don't know what else to do. We've done everything I know how to do. I said, well, then we need to get, you know, we need to do something different. And so I had a different crew chief. And I got to tell you this. And Hammond was one. He told me this on our second go-around because I hired him back. I said, well, that didn't work. So I need Hammond back. He sat down with me one day and he looked at me, and I was about 40-some years old at the time. And he looked at me and he said, we can change crew chiefs until the cows come home. You can have a new crew chief every week, but no crew chief is going to be able to make you happy. No crew chief is going to be able to give you the car you're looking for because you just can't do what you used to be able to do. And so you get to a point where you run out of ideas. You get to a point where you think you got to do something. If you keep doing the same thing over and over, it says that you're okay with it, and we know that Rick Hendrick is not okay with the way the 48 team has performed this year. So it was time for them to make a change. I think the winner in this whole thing will be William Byron.
Right.
William's a young kid. He doesn't know. And Chad Knaus is a smart guy, and I think he'll really educate William, and I think they'll do really well together. Mandering has been over at Hendrick Motorsports as crew chief on one of those Xfinity cars. He's a sharp kid. He might be able to help Jimmy. I don't know, but we'll see. But if I had to put my bet on either one, I'd go with Chad and William Byron. I think they'll do pretty darn good together.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that because I think that's what William Byron needs. He needs that veteran crew chief that can kind of help mentor him.
Yeah, well, Darian Grubb was Tony Stewart's crew chief when Tony won the championship. But Darian had been out. He hadn't been on the pit box for a while. He'd been in the shop.
Right.
And so they brought him back, and he's a great guy. I love Darian. He's a good man. But I think, Chad, I think that'll be an upgrade for William, and I think William will really, really reap some good rewards from that.
We'll continue the conversation with Darrell Waltrip from Fox NASCAR when we come back here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're back here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe here with you online at thegamenashville.com. He's Darrell Waltrip from Fox NASCAR. Talladega this weekend, DW. I know you had some exciting moments down there a time or two. We had the Roval a few weeks ago that was unpredictable. Didn't know how that was going to turn out. Blaney ends up getting the win, who was on the show earlier. And then you have Talladega this weekend that's unpredictable. Anybody could win that. You know, I guess it's fair to ask the question, what do you expect? But I already know the answer.
Well, first of all, I expect them to have the big one.
Yeah.
See, people get really annoyed at us in TV land. They get annoyed at us because we start talking about Talladega, the first thing out of our mouths. Well, you know, the question is, when will they have the big one? Well, you know why we say that? Because they always do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like we make it up. That's going to happen. The drivers know that. The fans know that. The TV people know that. Then the question is, who can survive? And just when Brad Keselowski won the race last year, they said, how did you do that? He said, I survived. And so going to Talladega and running in that pack the way they do, all bunched up, all, you know, on top of each other, you just hope that if there's a wreck, you avoid it, or if there's a wreck, you can get through it. And if you do, most likely, and you got a pretty good car, you got a good shot at winning. So it's a crapshoot. Talladega is truly a crapshoot. You don't know what's going to happen there. You just hope and pray that whatever it is, that you're able to avoid it or get through it and come out maybe with a car that can win a race. We didn't used to – see, that's the thing back in the day. We didn't race like that. We had about, I don't know, we'd get five or six or seven of us get break away from the pack, and it'd be a race amongst, you know, amongst four, five, six guys, and you just kind of had to outsmart, you know, two or three people. Now you've just got to – you got to know what line to get in. You got to know who, what line moving, which line has the energy. Don't want to be in front. Don't want to be second. Don't want somebody pushing. You know, it's just a lot more to the race now than what it used to be.
Yeah, and I think that that's kind of what creates some excitement for the fans, but also makes the drivers go a little crazy as well.
You know, when you're running on top of each other the way they do at 200 miles an hour, if somebody's car moves a little bit, it pushes, it runs up the track, it hits another car, and away we go. I mean, you get a whole bunch of cars all wadded up at one time. We don't see that anywhere else, Daytona and Talladega, because of the pack racing. But one little mistake by one person, and they can wipe out half the field.
DW, you know, Kevin Harvick probably should have won the race last week at Dover, as we talked about earlier in the interview. Chase Elliott was able to get the win there. Kyle Busch has won during the playoffs. Truex has not, but they're all at the top of the standings. We all expect the big three to be represented at Homestead, but is there a driver that stood out to you in these playoffs that could challenge them for the championship?
Well, you know, it's funny you say that, because if you look at Chase Elliott, I have a lot of confidence in him and his team. Alan Gustin's a smart guy, good crew chief. Chase is driving really well right now. I think they've gotten their cars a lot better. I think the Hendrick cars have been on the front row the last five or six times we've been to restrictor plate races, including Daytona. So I think he's going to go into this weekend with a lot of confidence. I think these two wins he's gotten this year are certainly going to be what he needed. I think it gives him some confidence that maybe he lacked. And so I really look for Chase Elliott to be a guy that it wouldn't surprise me if he won again this weekend. But Brad Keselowski and Joey Logano, those Fords of Penske's, have been awfully hard to beat on these restrictor plate races lately. Kyle Busch, he'll be a factor. Denny Hamlin will be a factor. Well, always Truex, week in, week out, you know he's going to be in the hunt somewhere. And Kevin Harvick, you just can't count him out. Kevin Harvick probably could have won four or five more races, but they just constantly, I wouldn't say constantly, but they have a lot of trouble in the pit. They'll cost Kevin a race or two every year because of issues in the pits, and we saw that again Sunday at Dover. Just something happened with the tire changer. He hit the valve stem and broke it, and the tire went down, and Kevin had to come back in. Of course, fought his way back to a sixth-place finish, but he should have won that race hands down. So the Talladega is just pick a car and keep your fingers crossed that it makes it to the finish. If you can finish that race, you got a shot at winning it.
All right, DW, as we wrap this up, and your event coming up the 17th and 18th next week with Clint Black, the golf tournament on the 18th. But I do want to ask you about this, the rumors with Nashville and the possibilities, Marcus Smith and Tony Formosa talking, that maybe we could get NASCAR racing back here in the Music City. I just read an article about possibly the trucks and Xfinity coming for a race weekend. I know this place means a lot to you. It obviously means a lot to me. That's where I saw my first race. How cool would it be to have racing back in Nashville?
Look, the Fairgrounds is the greatest short track in the country. It's the oldest. I think there's only one other racetrack that's older than Nashville, and Nashville is the oldest continually operating racetrack in the country. I think back in the early 1900s. So, ever since that, when Bill Donahoe was there, and the track was, you know, the old track that all of the Cuckoo Marlin and Charlie Bink and all those guys race on, then Donahoe jacked that thing up to 36 degrees of banking, and that didn't turn out too well. They cut it down to what it is today. there's not a driver that I know ever and I've ever talked to, Dale Jr., Dale Sr., Harry Gant, you name it, that has come over here, Jack Ingram, all those guys said that this is the best short track they ever raced on. If with a little bit of work, a little cooperation from the city and the fair board, if everybody get on the same page and clean that place up a little bit and do a little work on it, spend a little money on it, short track racing right now, people are screaming for more short tracks. Nashville is sitting in a perfect spot right now. If everybody would just get together, work together, they can make it happen.
Completely agree, and I would love to see it. And I know that you're a champion of it.
I might retire from TV and go down there and run the joint. I'd go down and help promoter run the joint.
Hey, I'll spot for you. How about that? Hey, Daryl, I appreciate it. Best of luck with the event one more time for Motor Racing Outreach, October 17th and 18th.
Yeah, it's a great event. Raised a lot of money for I'm chairman of the board of Motor Racing Outreach. We started that back in 1987. She's still going strong. It's a ministry. It's like everything. It's like every ministry. It runs on contributions, and this is one of the events that really, really helps them get through the year.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to come on today and happy to promote it. And we will talk to you soon. Enjoy the rest of the playoffs.
All right, buddy. Let's go chasing, boys.
Old DW, Daryl Waltrip. Again, check out his charity he's got going on October 17th and 18th next week. Very cool, the work he and Michael do for Motor Racing Outreach. And, of course, always a great personality to have on. He's been on with us a couple times now. Never holds back his opinion. That's what we love about old Daryl Waltrip, if I could spit that out. Talladega this weekend, it's unpredictable. Wanted to have DW on to talk about it. You heard Ryan Blaney earlier on in the show. Rate, subscribe, and review on iTunes. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Chasing Checkers. And we will have a lot to break down from the Talladega Super Speedway coming up next week. I'm Chase McCabe. Have a great race weekend, everybody. ESPN 102.5 The Game.